Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
President and Chief Executive Officer of National Public Radio, also known as NPR. Mike Gonzalez is the Angelus T. Arredondo E. Pluribus Unum Senior Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Ed Ullman is the President and CEO of Alaska Public Media.
Yes, noted erudite scholar Marjorie Taylor Greene introducing the members and representatives of PBS and NPR, and who herself may well have benefited from having a little more PBS and NPR in her life, who didn't know the proper pronunciation of unum. Also, acceptable alternative unum, part of E pluribus unum, or unum, the way we say out of many, one, but she thought it was unum. Because, look, if you're going to be a jerk, you got to bring the receipts. You got to back it up. You can't be a jerk and be dumb. You got to, you know, I mean, you can be nice and be dumb. You can be a jerk and be mean. But anyway, I favor jerk and mean and hopefully also smart. Catherine Marr for NPR, the CEO. About a month ago now, but I finally got around to cutting the audio. It was so interesting. It's been this ongoing conversation in the Trump administration and reporting about the Trump administration about whether they will cut the federal funding for NPR and PBS. Catherine Marr introducing the radio network, if you want to call it that.
My name is Catherine Marr, and I'm the president and CEO of National Public Radio, and I welcome the opportunity to discuss the essential role of public media in delivering unbiased, nonpartisan, fact-based reporting to Americans.
That would be a fantastic goal if only that were what was accomplished. There was a point in this hearing where they asked her if she really believed that NPR was unbiased, and she said, oh, yeah, you know, and people laughed. People in the room laughed, and I don't think it was all Republicans laughing. And listen, I like NPR. I don't mind listening to liberals. You know, I was one. I was raised by them. I enjoy reading them. Doesn't bother me to read the New York Times or the Atlantic or Mother Jones. I don't agree, but I'm weird. But I'm not of the opinion that you have to agree with somebody to appreciate them, to value them, or even to think that what they're saying, it might be useful to understand because they're people who sincerely believe it, and you should kind of understand the whole world. I mean, I understand my side pretty well already. I don't necessarily need to hear my side all the time. So I've liked over the course of my life listening to NPR, but I don't like it as much anymore because it has really gone off the deep end. Okay. And it's not so much that it takes a liberal perspective. It's that it selects stories to fixate on and topics to fixate on that are so embedded into the leftist agenda that it becomes a caricature of itself. You know, when I do the Transgressors service at 6:20 and 8:20, early service, late service, where I play a woke pastor canceling things or explaining progressivism or whatever you want to style it. But the premise is canceling things that had to go away this week because they don't virtue signal well enough. I'm doing satire, but of course it's satire based on the way people really do think and the things they really do say. NPR is doing its own satire and doesn't even know it. Like, the kinds of things they focus on are so bizarre many times and so oriented around, especially the you know, hyper green and hyper, you know, LGBTQ agenda, that it's, you know, you're just not talking to most people anymore, which is their defense. Their defense is we represent information that the vast majority of Americans don't have good access to, especially in rural areas. We are their one connection to, you know, good news. The problem is you're not talking about anything they care about, and you're not talking about it in a way that they can relate to most of the time. But back to Catherine Marr doing her intro. And again, I say this as somebody who likes the product, believes in the product, and, you know, I just don't think it should be federally funded. You know, you can like a thing and believe it's useful without thinking that you ought to confiscate people's money and force them to subsidize it, which is, you know, what we have right now.
As a recipient of federal funds, it is our responsibility to answer legitimate questions about why public funds should go to NPR, whether we are truly committed to serving all Americans, and whether the institution is an effective steward of taxpayer dollars. I hear, respect, and understand your concerns regarding bias and whether public media is relevant in a commercial landscape.
Okay, good. And that's the other issue is, you know, do you need an NPR to be, again, not to exist, but to be federally funded, right? That's the real question. Do we get enough public benefit out of what NPR does and to be federally funded? And there you have questions about bias on the one hand, but also about in the landscape of modern technology, do people get their news this way that they cannot get in some other way? There's obviously a vast array of other radio sources that they could get. I mean, we're one. There's also a vast array of online, of course, other broadcast television. There's less newspaper available today than there was in the past. I mean, there was a time in this country. I know it's, if you're under, 40, you'd never experience it. If you're under 30, it's hard to believe it's true. But there used to be multiple editions of newspapers in cities, the morning edition and then the evening edition. And maybe if there was some big story, there would be a breaking edition. You know, there, I mean, that's how it used to be. It's just obviously it is not that way anymore. The other entity in question, PBS, the public broadcasting service, which is, of course, television. Paula Kerger, is the head of that.
My name is Paula Kerger, and I'm the president and CEO of PBS, a role that I've held for 19 years. It is my honor to be here on behalf of the 336 PBS stations who serve every community in the United States. There's nothing more American than PBS.
Well, one step too far. I would say baseball. I would say football. I would say apple pie hot dogs. Okay. No, I actually agree with her in one sense. PBS, again, historically has been an incredibly important public service. Not primarily because of their news coverage, but primarily because of their children's programming, right? It's a tremendous educational resource. If you grew up on Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, you grew up on PBS.
PBS stations provide something that cannot be found on commercial networks. This is because PBS stations are focused on the needs and interests of the viewers they serve. Especially in rural areas, PBS stations are the only outlet providing coverage of local events. For example, high school sports, local history and culture content, candidate debates at every level of the election ballot, and specialized agricultural news.
Yeah, not sure that they're the only one that covers those. I know we cover some of that. ESPN Pensacola covers some of that. WAR-TV covers that. The PNJ covers that. So to say it's the only is a bit much. And as far as agricultural stuff, maybe in some places that's true. But as far as educational content, that's the... And the debates. They do. And one of the things that WSRE does is carry a lot of the, like, you know, candidate forums, or at least their own. And they carry, you know, the roundup, you know, after you've had session, the legislators talk about what's going on. And that's a good public service. It definitely is a good public service. Is that enough to justify federal funding? Is the kids programming enough to justify federal funding? I would say this. I would say of the two, you'd federally fund PBS much sooner over NPR. And I don't think you fund NPR. By the way, the issue with NPR is also, and this is something that I was kind of surprised did not come up in the conversation, it's the issue of being a nonprofit and getting the benefit of not having to pay taxes. And so when you sell ads but don't call them ads, you sell them sponsorships, and companies spend advertising money and sponsorships for a radio station. Well, that diminishes the pool of alternatives for them to spend money on advertising in commercial radio stations like mine. And you say, well, that's self-serving. I mean, okay, sure. But that's part of the issue is you now have the government actively competing against private companies in a marketplace where you don't need the government to be competing and drawing advertising money, which they don't call advertising, but which it certainly functions as that, away from commercial stations who depend on advertising and have to pay taxes, you know, kind of bit at both ends, so to speak. So James Comer, who is one of the Republicans on the committee, I think he's the ranking Republican on the committee.
When I graduated from college with a degree in agriculture, I went back to rural Monroe County, Kentucky, and worked on a farm, my farm, for 5 years, full time. Farmed to this day, but full time. I was in a tractor sometimes 10, 12, 14 hours a day. And I listened to the radio, and the only radio station I could get that had news was public radio. So I listened to as many hours of public radio as anyone on this panel, I can assure you. And it was a great service. That was 30 some years ago. Today, in that same remote area, I mean, you've got Sirius XM, you've got podcasts, there's internet access now. There's a whole menu of media options now. So, but over time, and I still occasionally listen to NPR because I just want to hear what they have to say. And I don't even recognize the station anymore. It's not news. I feel like it's propaganda. I feel like there's disinformation every time I listen to NPR. And, you know, a media entity like MSNBC or Huffington Post that, in my opinion, consistently spews disinformation, they can do that. They're a private company. But NPR gets federal funds.
And that's really all the difference in the world. And if I happen to know a fair bit about NPR. I worked pretty closely with somebody who was, you know, pretty well positioned within NPR for a while. And I'm a conservative, okay? And so I know some people will think that I'm I have a viewpoint bias when it comes to news. And I mean, I'm sure I do. But I don't even know any liberals who dispute that NPR is wildly liberal. It's just not down, it's not even close to down the middle. It's really out there. And so if you have a 1 to 10 scale, you know, and a 5 is dead neutral, there's not a lot of news out there that's just dead neutral, right? There's some that comes close. But, and Fox is to the right and MSNBC is to the left and Newsmax is way to the right. And, you know, CNN is, you know, left of center by a substantial amount, but not that far. People think, I want to say CNN's terrible. It's really not. New York Times is left of center. The Washington Post is left of center by some degree. And then, you know, you have the Wall Street Journal that leans to the right. Okay, I mean, it's good to know the landscape, okay? I mean, NPR is like a 2 on this scale, a 1. I mean, well, they're not Mother Jones, but, you know, they're not far off. They all read Mother Jones, you know? And they do not listen to Fox News. I mean, there's, you know, they... Most of them. This is why the Uri Berliner piece that came out last year was so devastating. Was it last year? I think it was last year. Uri Berliner was a longtime editor at NPR, and he said in the newsroom at NPR in the Washington Bureau, out of the, I think it was 90 people, there were, you know, 90 Democrats. No Republicans. No Trump voters. How can you possibly be balanced if literally nobody in your newsroom sides with the other side? I mean, theoretically, you could. We could all be dispassionately pursuing the news and presenting it without any bias whatsoever, in spite of our own, right? You know, I try my best to do a fair show, right? It's, you know, but I'm certainly have a viewpoint. I mean, it's not a hidden agenda. The problem is when people have an agenda, have a viewpoint, and then think they're hiding it. And for her to continually say in front of this committee that, yeah, you know, we're doing fantastic. Everything's good here. There's nothing to see. We're all good. Like, really? You think that you're all fine? Is that exactly what you think? It's bizarre. So the history of bias also has to do with the coverage of particular stories, right? Like the Hunter Biden laptop story.
NPR fancies itself as a nonpartisan news outlet, public information outlet, even says that we should consider all things. All things are considered, yet their history of political bias has shown that there are a number of things they have not considered. They asked us not to consider that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. They dismissed what was always the most probable theory of the COVID lab leak from Wuhan. They interviewed Russia collusion hoaxer Adam Schiff 25 times, who claimed to have a vault of information in his office leading to the impeachment of President Trump, which, of course, we now know is all fraudulent.
Right. And Catherine Marr's response is...
Thank you, Congressman. First of all, I do want to say that NPR acknowledges that we were mistaken in failing to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story more aggressively and sooner. Our current editorial leadership...
In Wuhan?
We recognize that we were reporting at the time, but we acknowledge that the new CIA evidence is worthy of coverage and have covered it.
Yeah, and But why did you miss it in the beginning? Why did you get it so wrong when the story was first coming out? Well, the answer is because you don't have the right eyes looking at these stories. You know, the problem with viewpoint bias and reinforcement of viewpoint you hold is if you hang around with people who think like you, they're not going to remind you to think the other way. They're not going to ask the right questions anymore. Honestly, it's one of the reasons I like to be friends with people who disagree with me. First of all, it doesn't bother me. Never threatens me. If I have the right answers, then being challenged doesn't bother me because I think they're the right answers. And if I have the wrong answers, I want to find them. So being around people who disagree with me is more likely to reveal them. But also because I want to be constantly checked. I want somebody to constantly, I like people who disagree with me because they're going to tell me things I probably ought to hear or at least know why I don't follow them on it. When everybody sees things a certain way, you swallow the mistakes so easily because nobody's got the right taste buds to detect that there's something off in it. So, yeah, there's a history here. There's a history of bias. It's gotten worse over the years. Programs that at one time were fantastic have become not that. And again, it's the question of competing against, commercial outlets and also in a landscape where you don't really need to have the government propping up a public source of information. Again, my own take on this, the Trump administration is going to make their decisions, I'm sure. But my own take on this is I would not fund NPR. I would probably still fund PBS because of the kids programming, which is a unique and not particularly commercially viable thing. Although, there was a time in the past where maybe commercial TV stations would put out kids content, and they do some, but it's not the same. And as soon as you start pairing up money with kids stuff, it starts to, raise a lot of good questions. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The answer's no. When you say no, it must be the death of the question.
I understand.
There's even a hint of maybe the questions won't stop until they find something you can't say no to.
Good morning, 528 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Friday morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yeah, good morning. Tens of thousands of people have now visited St. Peter's Basilica to pay their respects to Pope Francis. His body will lie in state until later this evening when his coffin is sealed. His funeral being held tomorrow with dozens of heads of state, including President Trump, in attendance. Authorities say that New Jersey wildfire now has consumed at least 15,000 acres, and they believe it was deliberately set by a man that they have arrested. 19-year-old Joseph Kling has been arrested, and he's charged with arson and aggravated arson in that Jones Road wildfire. The son of former NBA player Gilbert Arenas is hospitalized after a serious crash in Los Angeles. Multiple outlets are reporting that Elijah Arenas was placed into an induced coma after crashing his Tesla Cybertruck early on Thursday morning. He's a five-star basketball prospect himself and is committed to play for the University of Southern California.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. The governor is full-blown denialism on the Hope Florida scandal.
When you see some of these political attacks, that's just because people know this is effective. That is because they're threatened by this model. Some people are threatened politically because the First Lady's been so good at doing this.
What? Okay. I am a critic of the Hope Florida Foundation. I believe there's a scandal here. I don't know if it touches DeSantis himself or his wife in any way, but certainly the prima facie case against James Uthmeyer and Jeff Aaron is strong. The prima facie case, okay? It doesn't mean they get convicted. It doesn't mean that there's a stronger case to be had, but, you know, it looks bad from the start, okay? And not because I don't want people to get off public assistance. I do. I hope. I would love to see that happen. Politically motivated, I have loved the governor. This is reluctant criticism. I'm a big fan, sir. But not only do you triple and quadruple down on this nonsense, but your pack anyway goes in all-out attack mode against Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade and calls them liberals for not supporting your agenda? Come on!
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Rulings from three federal judges set up roadblocks for the agenda of President Trump. One-stop proof of citizenship requirements plus.
Another judge in California blocked the Trump administration from stripping federal funds for sanctuary cities, saying the action would irreparably hurt these cities and counties.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, a different judge, blocks withholding of money to sanctuary cities and ordering the return of a second migrant deported to El Salvador. American Cardinal Kevin Farrell presides over the closing and sealing of Pope Francis' coffin about 2 p.m. Eastern. The faithful flocking to say their goodbyes.
Being near in Pope, it's like he's part of my family.
128,000 mourners have viewed the Pope so far, that from the Vatican. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 68 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. The U.S. Air Force is looking for an airman that has allegedly fled the service amid an investigation into child pornography. Officials say they're searching for Airman First Class Brandon Cecil Standifer. He's an aircraft maintainer that was stationed at Hurlburt Field in Okaloosa County. He was apparently the subject of an investigation into child pornography. The Air Force believes he fled his duty station last Friday to avoid prosecution. Standifer was declared a military deserter earlier this week. We will have a photo up on the News Radio website here soon. He was reportedly last seen arriving at an airport in Montana and has family ties in both Michigan and in Ohio. A legendary stunt pilot lost his life in Langley, Virginia this week. He entertained Pensacola Airshow fans for years. Chris Bryan with the report.
Bob Holland certainly was a crowd favorite here in Pensacola. He flew his experimental MXSRH aircraft a number of times at the Pensacola Beach Airshow and Blue Angels Homecoming Airshow aboard NAS Pensacola. On Thursday, Rob Holland was killed when his stunt plane crashed as he was landing at the Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. This was just ahead of an air show he had scheduled this weekend. He will certainly be missed at this summer's Blue Angel Beach Show. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Amtrak announcing a new name for its twice-daily railroad service that's starting soon between Mobile and New Orleans. The new route will be called the Amtrak Mardi Gras service, highlighting, of course, both cities' long history with the celebration. The service will have both morning and evening trains in both cities with stops in Bay St. Louis, Gulfport, Biloxi, and Pascagoula. The new trains will feature wide reclining seats, leg room, no middle seats, and space for carry-on luggage. Well, a Pensacola man is charged with child abuse after allegedly tying two girls to a chair and beating them with a switch after they got in trouble at school. 67-year-old Ray Benjamin was arrested earlier this month, and a report says that incident happened last Wednesday, after the girls had been suspended from school. When the small stick he was using as a switch broke, he reportedly began hitting the girls with a belt. One of them was able to free herself and ran for help. Both girls were taken to a hospital and treated for injuries. Benjamin is charged with aggravated child abuse and false imprisonment. He's since been released on $100,000 bond. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity CEO Sam Young was appointed to the Federal Reserve Board's Community Advisory Council, which addresses economic issues affecting low to moderate income communities. Young says it's an honor to represent the region on the council. His appointment has been praised by local leaders. Well, lawmakers in Tallahassee are having trouble getting a state budget together. Leaders in the Senate and House telling members yesterday they are still $4 billion apart. The legislative session is set to end a week from today. If they're going to meet that deadline, a budget would have to be submitted by Tuesday before the 72-hour cooling-off period starts. A budget has to be passed by July 1st. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 80 degrees for your afternoon high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Saturday, we are going to be seeing mostly sunny skies with a few passing clouds, 10% chance of rain in the afternoon, but most of us looking dry, 83 degrees for that high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Very similar forecast on Sunday, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 84, low near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. We've got 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, it's Flint Lockwood here from Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered these amazing living foodimals. But wait, we've also discovered a crisis that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. That's almost 17 million kids. Our mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks, helping connect children and families who face hunger to billions of pounds of food, reaching shelters, schools, and community centers in every county in America, including yours. Help Flint and the Feeding America Network of Food Banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week we're talking about crawfish, and how you can nominate a hospitality hero, plus the benefit that tourism has on our community.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Yeah.
do have our special guest in the corner over there. This is our canine Jet, who is our latest addition to PPD family and the airport. He's a 16-month-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever and specializes in explosives detection. So if any of you media have any explosives on you, we can do a quick test run, see how well Jet is doing.
So that's the mayor on Monday at a press conference introducing the new canine bomb detection dog for the airport. You have all different kinds of dogs who do all different kinds of roles. We talked about that a little bit with our chief of police, Eric Randall, who joined us yesterday. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing, Andrew?
Great to have you. Great. We're doing fantastic. Do I have it right? There's one PPD dog for the airport and then, like, what, six or seven that are on patrol outside of the airport? And they're kind of two separate kinds of groups, right? Like, the one is for explosives and the others are for drugs and chases and search and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So, Jet at the airport is a single-purpose, what we call a single-purpose canine detector. He's for explosives. Our patrol dogs are dual-purpose, so narcotics and patrol functions. And we also have two other dogs. We have a dog that's a gun detector dog. We utilize her in the schools. And then we have another dog, Taylor, that's an electronics detection dog.
Okay.
And he's using a lot of special investigations and other things. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we have a variety of canine assets.
Yeah, the electronics ones is amazing to me. They can sniff out USBs and hard drives that people, you know, child pornographers and whatever hide. And it's just, I mean, it's an amazing, or, you know, people who commit, you know, electronic fraud and they have records or whatever. That's amazing stuff. Okay, I didn't know that about the gun dog for the schools. And so that puts the total at what, maybe around 10 canines for PPD? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, everybody loves to see the new dogs. That's fantastic. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question because it's really more, you know, I had kind of brought it up with Mike last week and, you know, he recommended I talk with you about it. He's out this week, you know, doing a training event. And so we've got you, which is fantastic. We, you know, love talking to you as well. But the question I had is I had a recent incident and, you know, I don't want to, it's not really about me, but just it happened to be my experience. My son got backed into it at a Walmart on Creighton and first impulse is to call the police, right? To have him come do a report. He was told by the dispatcher, we don't dispatch to private parking lots because it was in the parking lot. And, you know, he called me and he's like, Dad, I thought we're supposed to. And I called dispatch and was told the same thing. You know, we don't dispatch to private parking lots. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, so, you know, eventually we did manage to get an officer to come out, you know, and Officer Sergeant Sturgeon is great. I mean, she's fantastic. She shows up, doesn't do a report. But does do body camera. We're still trying to get that because what happened is between him admitting fault at the time, totally taking the blame, he's now telling the other driver is now telling the other insurance company, you know, no, he backed into me. I'm like, baloney. And, you know, it's crazy. But that's why you do a police report. And so my question for you is, when did the policy change? Why do we have this policy? Maybe explain, because I think people in the city, and I know for me, have always been trained, always call a cop, get a police report. That way you have it documented.
Right. Yeah. With crashes on private property, unless there's some specific criteria that's met, say, for instance, if there's a report of injury, significant damage, resulting in a DUI investigation, a hit and run, those are things that are required to have reports done on, state reports done on, because you got to remember the report that we do is a state reportable form for a crash. Now, what we can do in those situations on private property, because usually there's private property crashes or low speeds, minimal damage, most of never, no injuries are occurring. So what we normally do is if we have officers available and you're requesting it, we can come out, respond. We're going to respond with our body cameras to document everything, issue what we call a CAD number. That's a CAD number, dispatch number. So they'll have a record of it for the parties involved in insurance companies. And also we'll do the information exchange forms, which is part of the information where both drivers give each other's information and give that to their insurance companies. But like you said, with the police coming out with the body camera, dash cameras, that stuff is available to document any statements that are made at the time because, like you said, sometimes things change once to once people leave the scene, things of that nature. But yeah, that has been the policy for quite some time. Not with unless there's those specific criteria that have been met: injuries, death, then in person, significant damage where a wrecker is required to remove the vehicle because now you're getting up to higher speed and things of that nature. Hazardous material incidents, commercial vehicles. So those are a lot of stipulations that require, you know, to document stuff on a state form. But when there's minor, no injuries and things of that nature, minimal damage, we're not required to document those on a state form. But also, you have the ability to go online afterwards and do, you know, on the state website and do a short form where you can just have that document on the short form as driver itself. And like I said, this is specifically for parking, private road crashes, very minimal damage, no injuries and things of that nature. Now, there's other factors like I just talked about that can come into play that can change that. So,
well, okay, I have a follow-up I'll ask you in just a second because what Mike was telling us last week was that, you know, look, if you demand an officer comes, you get an officer to come. And of course ours would have fallen into exactly your criteria: low speed, no fuss, we thought it was a slam dunk thing, minimal damage, all of this stuff. I'm really glad we forced the issue, but it feels like, you know, ask once you get told no, but you got to ask two or three times to get told yes. And that's why I wanted to ask you about this, Chief. Just a quick follow-up: you can or cannot get an officer for the, you know, low speed, low incident, minor damage, no violence, no DUI, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Yeah, so, like, you know, if you, and like I said, the other things that come into play too. So, you know, we prioritize calls too. So, you know, depending on the time of day it is, if it's a high volume call, time of day, I mean, that call, you know, with being minimal damage, minimal, no injuries, things of that nature, is going to be a lower priority because we're trying to deal with other life-threatening things of that nature. So it depends on what time of day you call, too. So it could be a wait period.
Trust me, I know that too. not with you guys. The irony is there was a second fender bender I had on my way home and had to call FHP, and it took like an hour, hour and a half to get them there, and that was its own separate nightmare. Thank you for answering. I appreciate the perspective. I know one of the things that you had wanted to talk about is, and we just are doing a story today, like there's all this fraud in the world, like $12 billion in fraud, $15 billion in fraud, crazy levels of fraud. But we see this locally. What are the frauds that you're seeing locally that you want to warn people about?
So, I mean, we're seeing all kinds of fraud locally. We're seeing telephone scams. We're seeing the text messages. I myself have been getting these told text messages threatening to do all kinds of different things. You know, I'm sure everybody else is getting them. They're coming in emails. They're coming on social media. But, you know, what I want the community to know is if you get a text message, email, or phone call demanding you take some type of action immediately, especially financially, take a minute. Pause, pump the brakes, think about it, and don't do anything immediately. Make sure you talk to, especially if it's something about your financial institution that's requiring you to do something, make sure you stop, get a hold of your financial institution. Or if you have no other means or anyone to talk to, give us a call, because there are a number of cases where if individuals would give law enforcement a call or talk to somebody else, we could have saved people thousands. When I say fraud and scams, people are getting scammed out of thousands of dollars. And then another thing is the romance scams. We're seeing these romance scams on Facebook and social media where people are befriending people on social media, and the next thing you know, they're telling them they love them, they're going to get married, can you send me this money because of this thing, and next thing you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 is you know, these people are sending this type of money. I mean, these are actual incidents that we have had happen here in Pensacola. And then, like I said, the telephone scams, the emails, and things of that nature. But, you know, I read, Martha, you probably read, I want to say it's actually $16 billion in 2024.
Crazy.
From fraud and scams. And it was $12 billion in 2023.
Yep.
I mean, it continues to escalate. And every day, you know, everybody's getting these things. They're flooding your emails and things of that nature. So my advice is to just stop, pump the brakes.
You know, I saw a statistic that was very scary to me, just that the claim is that roughly 30% of Americans have fallen victim to a scam in the last year. That's not in their life. That's in the last year, which is, I mean, you know, the people who get scammed are the people who think they cannot get scammed, right? It's the, you know, people who get tricked into cults are people who think they can't get tricked into cults. Like, it's the people who think they're invulnerable that are the ones that wind up, you know, falling prey to this stuff. I also wanted to ask you a question about the real-time crime center and the ShotSpotter. Either or both of those are showing value, still showing value to the city of Pensacola?
Oh yeah. Every day they're showing value to the city of Pensacola. And thank you to our partners and Sheriff Simmons and his team at the Sheriff's Office. We partner great with them. It's showing so much value. I actually added a second staff member to the real-time crime center. And they, when I say real-time, it's real-time out here supporting the operations and investigations on the street each and every day. And just yesterday we had a situation where a traffic stop and someone fled from a traffic stop. Our real-time crime center personnel was up on the radio, on the computer, utilizing the technological resources to identify this person. And several hours later, we were able to make an arrest in that particular situation. So that's one immediate example of a win that we have. And it's brought to the Pensacola community by the great collaboration between law enforcement. You know, that's the great thing about here. Your law enforcement team are working together 24/7. You probably saw the article yesterday from Florida Highway Patrol, the collaboration we did over the weekend with the aggressive driving and DUI enforcement.
Yeah.
That is law enforcement working together, setting the example, making Pensacola safe.
Speaking of that, I know you work, you know, one of the things that the city keeps doing is working on, you know, speed enforcement through the red light camera enforcement, all of this. Are you, and it might be too early, I know the mayor has, you know, kind of mentioned this, it's maybe a little bit too early, but are you seeing behavior changes? Are your officers reporting behavior changes around red lights? And are you seeing anything in the line of, like, reduced collisions as a result of them?
Well, Andrew, it's still too early.
Okay, fair enough.
We've had two months of data, and we're trying to compare that. We saw the little bump between February and March. Now we're getting ready to get to the point where we can kind of take a full look at the April data here real soon as the end of the month comes and see what's going on. But I will tell you, I watch many of these videos with some of these violations, and it's disturbing the way some of these people are running these red lights. If it's a traffic signal, if the light turns yellow doesn't mean speed up and try to beat the traffic signal. Yellow means, hey, we need to start slowing down because we're going to need to stop. And it's we need to pay attention. Everybody needs to pay attention to these traffic signals because we got to be able to reduce injuries and we got to be able to save lives. I mean, I'm just saying, some of these videos, you've probably seen them when we rolled it out, are just horrific, some of these violations.
If we citizens had red light camera capability on dash cameras that we had, every single one of us would be turning in tickets every single day because just driving around, you see crazy behavior. It is an amazing problem, and I am really hoping that this works. I'm really hoping it makes those intersections safer. Frankly, if it works and we can expand it to other intersections, I'm on board. I am a fan. And if it turns out not to be working, well, we need to find some other solution because this is a really, really dangerous thing. And this comes as a dad who's taught one already to drive and is teaching another one to drive and has to teach another one to drive here in a minute. You know, teach them how to work around the danger of red light runners is a very, very scary thing. Chief Eric Randall, Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall. Chief, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for to keep our community safe. And we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And you guys have a great day. And thank you for what you do each and every day for the community.
Absolutely. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a business and you have employees, you have to deal with employee benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, all of that stuff. And you love what's happening and you're happy with the prices and your employees are happy. I mean, great. Don't change, you know, ignore me for a minute. But if any of that is not true, or even if it's pretty good, but you wonder if it could be better, because that's often the case, you know, and if it's better, then your employees will be happier and you'll save money and that's all good. Call Turgis and Causey. Ask them. Find out what do they have that might be a better alternative for you. Because what we had, it was okay. And then when they started working with us about 4 years ago, we got better customer service. I mean, really much better customer service. But we also got better choices, plans, options that we did not have before. And, you know, frankly, answers to questions that were just about impenetrable before, but we had good customer service now because my wife asks hard questions and they have good answers. And it's, I mean, it's just great. So we like them. They've been around for more than two decades helping local businesses like yours solve these problems. You have a no-obligation review of what you're doing done for free. 433-9996 or check them out online, Torgerson Causey at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel Tuesday at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It will be a beautiful day in the neighborhood on Saturday, April 26th, when WSRE hosts Be My Neighbor Day. Bring the kids from 10 to 2 to the WSRE Amos studio, where they'll meet Daniel Tiger and enjoy free family fun focused on early learning, health, and safety, and the neighborly values of Mr. Rogers. Visit WSRE.org/events to learn more. Sponsored in part by the Florida Prepaid College Board, State Farm, covering Florida, and the Lastinger Center for Learning at the University of Florida.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Good morning, 557 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're going to buy a car, buy a used car, one of the things you want to do is get a Carfax. Now, Carfax is not the end-all, be-all. You know, it's like not the only thing you want to do. A used vehicle inspection by a mechanic you trust is really something that you ought to consider doing. But it's interesting because there are lots of different services out there to provide you histories on vehicles, and Carfax is one of them. In my experience, it's the most thorough one. And so here's why I bring this up. If you're getting ready to buy a used car and you're not going to go to Frontier, like I recommend you do, but you want to buy it, you know, from, you know, Jim on Facebook Marketplace or whatever, if he's not giving you a Carfax for the car, take the VIN, call Frontier, and they'll give you a Carfax. And that can give you valuable information about the history of that vehicle that then you can follow up on. I still think you got to get a used vehicle inspection, but, you know, you do what you want to do. Say, why would Frontier help you buy a car from Jim? Because they can. Because they just want you to be informed, because it's a service that they offer. Like so many things they do, they're just here to be a useful service in the community. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Trump administration has been blocked, for now, from withholding federal funds from schools that have DEI programs. Three federal judges issuing separate rulings Thursday after teachers' unions, the NAACP, and others brought cases against the administration for threatening to withhold funds from schools with DEI efforts. One of the judges said the administration had not provided an adequate definition of diversity, equity, and inclusion. The first round of the NFL draft is in the books. The Titans selecting Cam Ward with the first overall draft pick. The Jaguars traded up to the number two spot with the Browns to select Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter. And the wait continues for Shador Sanders today, the son of Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. He'd been expected to be a top three pick early in the process, but was not selected yesterday. Andrew, would you say that generally you're in favor of trees?
I am adamantly pro-tree, yes.
Pro-tree, pro-tree. All right. Well, you could pick yourself up a free tree today up in the town of Century or around Century in the community center on West Highway Ford Industrial Boulevard, the Florida Forest Service, giving trees away to celebrate National Arbor Day. They've got several types: sycamore, red maple, Chickasaw, plum, and common persimmon. Limit of two trees per person.
Chickasaw and persimmon are just fun words to say. I'm probably not driving an hour to get a couple of free trees, though. But still, good news note, you know, you want to add a few trees to your yard. Just remember, trees take care. You got to take care of your trees, and you got to have space for them to grow, because they will.